This morning we begin a new series for the Epiphany season, borrowing words from Isaiah 60, which is the Old Testament reading that we heard read a few moments ago. Arise, shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Epiphany is a season of light, of revelation, of the revealing of the identity of Jesus through the things that were said about him, the things that people discovered as his identity was revealed. It's an epiphany. Like Lori said, I had an epiphany. The epiphany of Jesus is the revelation of who he is, and this begins with the story of the Magi coming to discover him, coming to find him. How many have been on a scavenger hunt, treasure hunt kind of activity before? We do this in our family. We have a tradition, the last gift, most often, the last gift on Christmas Day. It's an envelope on the tree, and when that envelope is taken off, then there's one or more clues inside, and then that leads to more clues, and eventually to usually the big gift, one that's hidden someplace. So this is a tradition I had from the time I was a young child at my house when I was a kid, and my dad would write clues, and then we would follow, and one year we didn't do it. And I remember my sister and I were kind of devastated. Like, why wasn't there a treasure hunt this year, Dad? I forget why, actually. I don't remember if it was because he was busy or they just forgot. I don't know. And, we started doing this with our kids, and now it's expected that this is part of it, right? We get to the end, and there's a hunt for the treasure. We get to the end of the Christmas season, there's a hunt for the treasure. We follow the clues and the hints. And in this reading from Matthew 2, they follow the signs. The Magi who come have to follow the signs. In order to follow the signs, we have to see the signs. It's important to see them first. How many signs do we miss? This year in our treasure hunt, they started out reading a clue, and then that sent them to puzzle pieces together. They had to find three different clues. Max and Gina and Drew found clues each, and then those three, as a three-piece puzzle, it's not very difficult, but they put that together, and that then became a clue. And they get to the end, and a lot of times, so there was a picture of them looking in the back of my truck. That's been an easy place to hide gifts, so now they have an expectation that's where they should go to find them. This year, that was only a place for one clue to be hidden. But then when it was time to find the gifts, we did something a little different this year. Instead of hiding the gifts altogether, we took Drew. What his gift was a box, a Lego set. And so it was a box that was quite similar to boxes he already has of sets of Legos. And that was in his closet in between boxes of Legos that he already has. And the clue was go to where there's clothes and toys and look there for your gift. And so he went in his room, and there's clothes and toys in the closet. But also in the drawers, there's clothes there. So he was opening drawers, and he was looking under the bed and elsewhere. And his mom and sister were sitting on the bed, and they were both snickering because they had seen in the closet on the shelf the gift. And eventually, Drew, feeling frustrated that they were able to see it, sat down on the bed and looked around and finally looked up. And there it was, hidden in plain sight-ish. Gina's gift was in a plain brown box that I put in the living room against the wall, kind of behind a chair, and it was a little hard to find. She looked around the whole living room and looked, in various places, and it was just right there, hidden in plain sight. How many times do we see things but not really see them? We see but we don't notice signs and things that point us the direction that we should go and give us information that we should have, but we can look right past that. We see God at work in his creation. He's revealed to us in the beauty of creation, in the sunset, in the way that the stars and the planets are. In all of these things, we can see God at work. We can see his fingerprints all over the place. That's a VBS song that we've sung. His fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cares. God's fingerprints are there. He's visible to us, but sometimes people miss that. Not everyone sees him. It is possible to go to the beach and not see the beauty of the beach. If your head is buried in the sand. If you take the ostrich route and bury your head in the sand, you don't see. Sometimes people have their heads buried in the sand, so they don't see. In a figurative way, they don't see what's right in front of their faces. They miss God's fingerprints and his message to them that is visible in what God has done. The Magi saw a star. What was it? People have tried to explain it as like a supernova or a comet or a planet. What it probably wasn't was a big ball of fire in the sky, even though our Christmas cards and different things tend to look at it that way. This gigantic, like everyone should see this star, probably wasn't. Our Bible class this morning, we talked a bit about that, about how everyone would have seen it, and there's very little evidence that more than just these magi from the east paid attention. So probably it was something like planetary movement across different constellations that caught the eye of these people who would watch the sky. Astrologers from Persia, most likely, were the magi who came, who followed this star that they saw. They saw the star, they paid attention. We need to pay attention to what we see and to particular signs and follow where they lead. See, seeing isn't enough. Action is required. If the last envelope had come off the tree and the clue had been read and then everyone sat on the couch on Christmas Day, the box of Legos would still be in the closet. The gift that Gina got, which was a small guitar, would still be in the box against the wall. Action, following the signs, is required, and that's what the Magi did. They went far from their homeland, and they followed that star in trust. They went with purpose. Sometimes we can make excuses for not following. I didn't see the sign, officer. You ever tried that one? When the sign is difficult to understand or interpret, it can be hard for us to follow. I don't understand. I had other things to do. And sometimes we don't follow, we don't take the action we should take for a variety of reasons. These magi moved, they followed the sign. We need to follow the signs as well, and sometimes it's important to ask for assistance. I remember before the days of the GPS built into the dashboard of the car or here in your pocket or your purse, for many of us, with the advent of smartphones, we have a GPS that tells us just about everything we need to know. Back in the day, the gas station attendant was regarded as the one who would know the entire region, all the attractions, all the names of the roads, and where to find everything. How many have stopped at a gas station and asked for directions? What gave us the idea that those guys knew all there was to know? Is it somehow, you know, the test that they get as gas station attendants? Can you work the register and can you give people directions? I don't know, but that was how it was. This past summer, we were traveling in Germany, and we needed to go back to the rental car company. We had to do some things on a paperwork and change the driver from Paula's name to my name. And so we were headed back. We got the car from Avis. And so, you know, same white letters, red background that we see here is what we're going to go look for. We had a GPS, so I type into the GPS, we need an Avis. And there was a little pin on a town. It was just a few kilometers away. And so we drove over to that town, and we got to where it said, "Your destination is on the right." "I don't see Avis." So we kept on driving, and we went like around the block and came back, and still no white letters, red sign. Didn't see it. So then finally we went in and asked. I found someone, I don't know if it was a gas station attendant. I think it might have been, actually, like a gas station or some kind of auto place. You know, it's car related, so they have to know. So I said, "You know, where's Avis?" In my broken German and his broken English, he told me to go down and turn right, and the office isn't here anymore, it's over there. So got back in the van and drove down and turned right, and we got to the road, and we were feeling pretty good, and still, no Avis. And like a half hour later, this is how we want to spend our vacation time, right? Driving around some town looking for an Avis office. We decided to go back to the airport, that was just a few kilometers away. And there we could find the desk where we had picked up the rental car the day before, and so we did. Learned that that Avis office had been closed in that town 6 months ago, and our GPS was last updated 2 years ago. So sometimes it's important where you find your directions and who you ask. The Magi stopped to ask for directions. They sought help in the capital. They went to where they expected to find the one born to be the king. It's important where we look if we're going to find the king. That's what we want to do. That's what the Magi set out to do, find the king. In Luke's gospel, there's a couple of parables about things that are lost and how when they're found, there's rejoicing. Have you ever lost something and then found it later and just felt that overwhelming joy? I had a pair of sunglasses. Those are sunglasses I really liked, and they went missing. And for like 6 months, looking back on this one day, I thought I must have left them in the sand at the beach. We went to the beach. That's the last place I remember having those glasses. So like 6 months had gone by, and we were going to go to the beach again. So we start gathering all the things. You know, you take the things to the beach. And so we had this one blue duffel bag kind of thing we put the beach things into. So we got the bag, and I'm putting things into the beach bag, and I'm going to put the sunscreen in that side pocket. There they are. My glasses. I thought these were gone forever, and they cost me like $4, I think. I don't buy expensive sunglasses. Why? Because I lose them. But I happen to like this particular pair of $4 glasses, and I was excited when I found them again. Ever found something like that, that had been lost, and then it's just joy when you have it again? Several years ago, Max had an iPod, and he misplaced it, looked back, wondered where it was. We had been to the mall. I went back to a Sears location because he was so distraught at the loss of this iPod, and I went into the store and I asked someone who worked there, "Have you found an iPod?" I mean, this is one of those ones that was like this size with the little round thing in the middle. You know, none of this touchscreen fancy stuff, right? This is many years ago now. Turns out, probably 6 months later, this is the, you know, time frame, he's cleaning out his closet. And there in the bottom of the closet under the shirts and games and toys is the iPod. Yes. And there was joy. There was rejoicing. When we find what we're looking for, we can rejoice with great joy. That's what the Magi did. Verse 10 from Matthew chapter 2. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Notice this. They're rejoicing when they saw the star. They haven't even found Jesus yet when they're rejoicing with great joy. In the Christmas season, there's a lot of anticipation through the whole month of December. We're already celebrating what we know is coming, Christmas. We're already rejoicing because we know what's ahead. The Magi are already rejoicing because they know what they're moving toward. They responded with overflowing emotion. We can do that too when we find Jesus. I heard a story of a person who had a woman who had a nativity set, a family, actually. Had a nativity set, and this particular set that they had, the infant Jesus piece was its separate one. It wasn't built like one piece molded with the manger and everything. So the baby Jesus could be removed. And so what they would do, they would take Jesus out, they would set up everything, but baby Jesus wouldn't be there, right? Because he's not born yet. So through the month of December, no Jesus in the manger. He shows up on Christmas Eve. They would get him out and put him in there. So one year, they forgot where he was. See, they set up the whole nativity set, and they put Jesus aside, and then forgot where they hid Jesus. Is he in the drawer? No. Maybe under the papers. Maybe he's in this. They didn't have to wait 6 months, though, thankfully. But there was rejoicing when Jesus was found. Because then he could be where he belonged, in that nativity set. He's often not where we expect him to be, though. When we look to find Jesus, similar to the Magi, he's not where we would expect. The Magi show up at the capital. They come to the palace. They're looking for the one who's born to be a king. And where do you look for a king? But among the royalty, among the royal family in the palace, at the capital, connected into this political system, probably. Who's going to be born to be the king? Well, the king would probably know. Except this king didn't know. And he freaked out. Then he wanted to find Jesus too for a completely different reason. The Magi go to Bethlehem and they look in the house because the star continued to point the way. And they found Jesus. And when they found him, they worshiped him. We worship him too as we find him. As we find him in the real world. The one who was incarnate for us, who became a real person, who understood real personness, who understood what real life is like because he was real, because he was like us in every way, because he endured temptation, he understood what growing up in a working class family was like. He understood what we believe having a single mom was like, because it's believed that Joseph probably died long before Mary. He understood what economic struggle was like from his own experience or people he knew well. But he also understood all the aspects of life, what it was like to be among the religious elite, what it was like to experience life in all its capacities and intricacies. Jesus understood. He was born into the real world. The Magi found him, and they worshiped him. Verse 11, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Notice this about their worship. First, they fell down in worship. It was a posture of respect and honor to the one who was born to be the king. They worshiped him emotionally. They were invested in this. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy as they were heading in that direction. I can't imagine that that joy ended when they finally found Jesus. And they worshipped him financially as they offered him these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. At that point, what had Jesus done? He was born. Of the things we confess in the creed, you can check off one box. He was born. He showed up. He had not yet accomplished all the things that were promised about him. He had not yet done what he came to do. As we come to Jesus and we worship him, we know the rest of the story. We know the rest of what we confess in the creed, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, died, and was buried. But he rose again, and he ascended, and he's reigning, and he will come again. We worship with the understanding of who Jesus is from all that he has already accomplished and all the promises that we know are yet to come. How much more full should our worship be compared to these magi who were worshiping a toddler who had yet to accomplish those things? We can worship in the same way. We can worship physically, we can worship emotionally, we can worship him financially as we find Jesus in our world, where we are. But not everyone finds Jesus. Where is he who was born? Isn't a question everyone asks. So part of our calling is to show the way. And we can do that. Be the star. You always wanted to be a star, right? Not that star. Not that kind of star. Be the kind of star that points to Jesus, that gives people direction about where to find him, because we know where he is. Where is he? He is here. He is here among us as we read his word, as it's proclaimed, as we worship, as we sing. In our time of prayer, Jesus is here as we gather in his name. He is here. But he doesn't live here. His address isn't 1989 East Calaveras. His address is also with us, in our hearts. So Jesus is here, and Jesus is here. So we can show the way here to this place, but we can also show the way through what we do. Arise, shine. Shine the light of Christ in this world. So better than being a star, be the moon. A star has its own light. The moon reflects light. Reflect the light of Christ. Shine with the light of Christ that has shone to you, that has shined on you. Shine with that light from Jesus. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Your light has come. He is Jesus. And so proclaim him. That can happen in gatherings like this. That can happen in a dinnertime conversation around a table. It can happen with a complete stranger or with your closest friend. We can proclaim him intentionally by speaking of the gospel. We can proclaim him, well, intentionally by how we speak, by how we conduct our lives, by the words that we choose to use, by the things we choose to talk about or not to engage in. We can proclaim Jesus through expressing our faith in him in ways that are verbal and in ways that are nonverbal as we serve him. And we can serve him in mission trips and service projects and missions of the church, and we can serve him in our own communities, in our own neighborhoods, in our own schools and places of work. We can serve him by how we live our lives as his people. Jesus has found us. He has drawn us to himself by his great light. We can reflect that light into the world so other people can see him. Arise, shine. Your light has come. Where is he? He is here. Let's take him into the world. Amen.